This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Good morrow, everybody. This is The Other Side of Midnight. A lot to get to this hour. A lot of things that I want to comment about and hear from you about. But first,
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents breaking news.
We are getting reports of some bad news out of Baltimore. We don't know exactly how bad it is yet, but a 9,000-foot bridge in Maryland, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, has collapsed after being struck by a container ship. And you could see this footage on social media. I'm gonna retweet this, but you could see this where it shows the moment where there's a vessel that plowed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, sending this massive steel structure crashing into the river. It was shortly before 1:30 in the morning Eastern. So it's about 90 minutes ago this happened. There were no immediate reports of any casualties. And as at this point, it's not clear if there was traffic on the bridge at the time of the catastrophe. So the Maryland Transportation Authority tweeted, all lanes are closed in both directions because of this incident on I-695, the Key Bridge. Traffic is being detoured. So I know we have a lot of listeners there at WCBM in Baltimore. And if you're near this or know anything about this or seeing anything about this, please give me a call and let us know what's going on there. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. We're certainly hoping that, look, it was one thing for a bridge to collapse, even a 50-year-old bridge, but it's quite another for there to be human casualties involved. So we're hoping that any casualties or injuries are minimal, but if you're near there, please give us a call, 1-800-848-9222. If you want to take a look, I just shared this video on my Twitter, at Frank Morano. I mean, just to see this bridge collapses into the river like a house of cards. It looks like a toy the way it collapses. Now, the one good aspect from this video that you can see here is, at least it doesn't look like there are many cars on this bridge at the time of this collapse. Now, it could be the angle in which this video is taken. And look, obviously, you should never judge based on just what's on, you know, what the videos or the photos are showing themselves in this era of AI and deepfakes. You know, sometimes the old phrase used to be, a picture is worth 1,000 words. These days, we're almost living in an era where a picture may not be as good as a pair of eyes. So if you're in the Baltimore area and you are anywhere near this Francis Scott Key Bridge, please give me a call and let us know what you're seeing. 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. And obviously, we hope and pray that that this is not that bad. You know, it's interesting. I'll give credit to the person who shot the video of this bridge collapsing. Hayward. It's a prank name. So that's the only reason that I'm cautioning people that maybe there's something more to this. It's a name that Bart Simpson would call Moe's Bar and ask for someone by that name, just so the bartender could say an embarrassing name, you know. And that's why I'm exercising caution here, because this Twitter account is now being deluged with media requests from TV stations all over the country asking for permission to use this video. And this person is responding. Sure, you can use the video. You can use my name if you want. Just spread the news. So I hope this is not some sort of massive prank on the part of this Twitter user to get his name out there in a prank fashion. The video does look genuine, but who knows? With AI, you just never know. Give me a call. Let me know what you're seeing. 800-848-9222 if you're down there. And we'll bring you any updates as this unfolds. I want to thank Ben from KMOX who alerted us to this as well. I've reached out to our folks at WCBM in Baltimore and see if and have explored whether any of those folks will join us to explain what we know about this. But this is one of those things where you hope it's a hoax, because you'd hate to see a bridge collapse. So if you're there, if you could see this, let us know what you're seeing. But this is what's being reported. It's being reported in the New York Times, The Hill, The Daily Mail. Major media outlets are reporting this. And if you don't know much about the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I confess I did not, it was originally known as the Outer Harbor Crossing until it was renamed in 1977, obviously for the person that wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. But it's a steel arch-shaped continuous through bridge, which it looks like they say it's about, the total length of it is about 8,600 feet. So the bridge has been open since 1977. So, all right, 800-848-9222. Hey, Ray is in Baltimore. Ray, I imagine you're familiar with this bridge. How close are you in relation to the bridge?
I live about three blocks from there, and I heard the big boom when the cargo ship hit it. So, I mean, that bridge has been there a long time, and it's quite high, so he had to be extra high with sea containers to hit that vessel, to hit that bridge, to really do an impact like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So have you you mentioned you heard the sound. Have you seen anything firsthand?
I'm on my way there now. I'm going to get on my boat and go out in the water and look at it.
Well, yeah. Call us back. You know what I wonder, Ray, and you hate to think this way, but how has something like this not happened before? I mean, if this is a busy crossing, I would think there's a possibility of vessels colliding with bridges like this all the time. How is it this has never happened?
Because normally that channel isn't that operative like that. They don't have cargo coming through there like that at night. But during the day is when they normally come through there. But apparently, somebody came through there and went out of the channel and hit the bridge.
Interesting, interesting. Hey, Ray, I'm going to put you on hold. Matt's going to give you a special number to reach us right away in case a lot of people are on the line. And if you do end up going out on your boat, don't do it just for us. We want you to be safe. But if you do end up going out there on your boat and getting close to this bridge area, let us know what you're seeing, okay?
Most definitely.
Hey, thanks for the update, Ray. 800-848-9222. If you're in the area, I'd love to hear from you. If you're just waking up or if you're just tuning in, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore has collapsed after it was apparently struck by a ship. It's not clear what caused this accident, and we don't yet have reports on casualties or anything like that. And I'm telling you, this is the place, if you want to know what goes on here, good, bad, or other, you got to just keep attuned to our show, because we have four monitors on all of the cable news stations. Not one of them is covering this. They're all playing replays of programs that ended 6 or 7 hours ago. So we're live. We're bringing you all this news as it happens. And whenever we know anything, we'll bring it to your attention. But that's what we know at this point. The bridge has collapsed after this large ship collision, as the officials announced lane closures and traffic detours. So there we are at the moment. And you can see the video that is circulating on Twitter, on my Twitter, at Frank Morano. All right. 800-848-9222, especially if you're down there. I'd love to hear from you what you're seeing. All right. Some other things that I want to get into this hour. Later today. I'm going to have more to say about this tomorrow, I imagine. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be announcing his vice presidential running mate. There was speculation, there's still speculation, that it was going to be either Jesse Ventura or Aaron Rodgers. I think that my position was basically that Jesse Ventura is much better qualified for this position. He would be a great vice president for Robert F. Kennedy. But unfortunately, even though Aaron Rodgers has no qualifications that we're aware of at all, that Aaron Rodgers might have more of a political benefit because he's much better known than Jesse Ventura. Now, what's been reported in the last week is that the running mate that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has settled on is a woman by the name of Nicole Shanahan. I don't know much about Nicole Shanahan other than she's a philanthropist. She's very wealthy. She used to be married to the co-founder of Google. She seems to be very attractive. She's been a big Kennedy supporter. She's the one who largely paid for that Super Bowl ad. So if she has virtually unlimited resources. So obviously we'll see what happens today. Who knows? Maybe it'll be Jesse Ventura or Aaron Rodgers. But if it is, in fact, this woman, Nicole Shanahan, and she's willing to open up her own checkbook for this campaign, that adds a whole different dimension to this campaign. Again, it's silly for me to speculate until we know what the story is. But if Kennedy is able to go dollar for dollar with Trump and Biden, that puts this candidacy in a position that really no independent candidacy has been in since 1992. Perot, because of his personal wealth and resources, was able to spend a great deal of money. I still don't know that he was able to make, he was able to spend as much as Bush and Clinton were, but he certainly was able to get on television and run ads and have people know that he was running. The big problem with a lot of third party candidates is you don't know who's running, right? You don't know that they're running. You don't even know who their name is. So how do people know to vote for them? So we'll be watching and see what happens. That's coming out of Oakland. That'll be 10 a.m. Pacific today, I believe. So we'll see where that goes. All right. I want to comment on this bizarre situation that we're seeing over at NBC News, but we want to keep our eye on this Baltimore situation as well. So if you have any insight, feel free to give us a call, 800-848-9222. Charlie's in Hell's Kitchen. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Frank. First, let me say my thoughts and prayers go out to all the people in Baltimore near that bridge.
Absolutely.
And second of all, your guest was fascinating, as are, you know, pretty much all your guests are fascinating. You and I disagree with William Shatner, but I mean, pretty much disagree at all. Well, no, I like William Shatner, too. I just think he killed his wife, so I have a different take on that. But I agree. I just want to say something. I love your show, Frank. In fact, Frank, I want you to know, I love your show so much that I actually decided to turn my radio off while I was radio. And that's the reason why I called, because you had a caller, and this is what I told your call screener, Matt Blaze, this is what I want to talk about earlier. You had this caller who called in and said he loves your show, but his radio was blaring, and you had to take him off radio, and then he came back on. But I couldn't believe what he was saying. So his daughter, his adult daughter, is having a hard time financially, so she's moving back in. That's a topic you were discussing at the time. And the guy was telling me he's giving her a hard time, and then he was insisting upon, well, I insist upon 10-minute showers. And I'm thinking, the last time you took a shower for 10 minutes, there were people in the service, in the Marine Corps, they were required to take 10-minute showers, and the Navy required to take 10-minute showers. I mean, I take a 45-minute shower, so I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't get along with this guy at all. But
you're really taking 45-minute showers?
Absolutely. I want to make sure I'm clean.
What are you doing in there for 45 minutes?
Well, it's late night radio, Franco. We're going to use the imagination here. I'm not going to get inappropriate on radio. But anyway, but then the guy says, "Well, what would you do?" And you quite wittily said, "Well, what would you do if your granddaughter or your daughter, your grandson took an 11 or 12 minute shower?" And then the guy's response is, well, I'd yell at them. And, you know, and you didn't want to go keep the call too serious. You want to keep it light. You want to keep it moving, obviously. But he said, well, I'd yell at them. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a precursor to domestic violence. I mean, I didn't like that caller at all. I was really frustrated. And I wanted to call in to chime in and put my two cents. And I think a shower monitor, what's he going to do? Be standing there with a stopwatch outside the bathroom, seeing that you, you know, and knock on the bathroom door when your 10 minutes are up? I mean, you know, you're not in basic training in the service. I mean, the guy doesn't seem like he's making his home too hospitable to his daughter and his grandson. And they don't want to be moving with him anyway, but they have financial problems.
Right. Yeah, so, and that's the thing, Charlie, thank you. And that's sort of the point that I was trying to get at, which is when someone moves in your home as an adult, you have to treat it differently than if they're moving in as a child or living there as a child. You do. You have to give them the respect that comes with adulthood and independence. All right. We're keeping an eye on this situation with the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which has collapsed in Baltimore. What I'm being told right now, and again, all these reports are unconfirmed. And again, don't bother looking at any of the cable news networks because they have not covered this yet. They're replaying shows that ended 6 or 7 hours ago. The Francis Scott Key Bridge has collapsed. What I'm being told is that there are 7 workers and 3 cars unaccounted for. Now, hopefully we can account for those 7 workers. Firefighters have received information indicating that 3 of those missing cars belong to the construction workers on the bridge. Currently, units are working to confirm that. Rescue crews have completed the search for one side of the bridge, and they're now focusing their efforts on the city-facing side of the bridge. But they're advising that massive amounts of debris, as you might imagine when a bridge collapses, is hindering the search. There are 3 additional Marine units that have responded to the scene and are preparing to launch. Firefighters are coordinating fuel resupply with incoming units, and crews are deploying sonar equipment to assist with the search. So that's the latest. Oh, and MTA officers are also arriving at the scene with night vision gear to assist in the search. So emergency personnel is doing their thing, and we will see where this goes. I am watching this, and if you're in the vicinity, if you can see this bridge, let us know what you see. I think a lot of people all around the country, maybe even all around the world, are curious to know the details here. All right. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Joaquin is in Pennsylvania. Hi, Joaquin.
Frank, I've been a truck driver for 40 years. I'm going to tell you the truth. Going back to the 80s when I used to cross that bridge quite a bit, I used to look at it and I used to get a little concerned.
Why? Tell me why.
What's that?
Tell me why. Why would you get concerned?
Because it was just basically like steel. It wasn't like a suspension bridge or anything like that, you know? And it just looked old and rickety to me. And when you're in a tractor trailer going across a bridge, you're sitting very high up, you know, that you get a different perspective of things than sitting in a car. And even going over, I forgot which bridge it was, going into New York City, the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge, where the trucks have to go on the outside. When you sit there and you look at the rail on the side of it, it doesn't look like it's going to hold your truck up if you make a mistake.
Well, so, and you're saying this had that same kind of a look. It was sort of, you described it as rickety.
I remember one night I was going across and it was pouring rain and windy and everything, you know, and I'm looking at this bridge, and I'm sorry, it always made me feel a little leery.
Well, I could certainly understand that.
But anyway, I want to get to the thing with the kids living, you know, with their parents. I have a situation where I have 4 kids, so, but anyway, my 27-year-old son, he lives with us, you know, and he has a son that's 8 years old, and so he has primary custody of his son. And I always told my wife, you know, when she went into court with my daughter and him, you know, to get him primary custody, that this was going to be, you know, this was going to be our deal, you know. And I mean, quite frankly, I've always had the perspective, whereas our house is a high ranch and our main floor is up on the second floor, and he has his bedroom downstairs, and he's had, you know, his girlfriends over the years, and I never make any kind of judgment or, you know, anything like that. And he's down, you know, and as a matter of fact, one of his girlfriends lived with us for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, again, it's a new era. The playbook of society in the 1960s or the 1970s has totally been rewritten. Hey, thanks, Joaquin. All right. We're going to keep an eye on this situation in Baltimore. If you have any insight, please give me a call, 800-848-9222. Tell folks what's going on. I've just retweeted another angle from this bridge collapse, and it looks bad. It looks bad just to see how quickly. I mean, I'm not sure what I was expecting, but it looks bad how quickly this bridge did collapse. So you could see those videos at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. All right, we'll continue straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Doesn't mean that much to me, to mean that much to you.
The great Neil Young. I am a fan of Neil Young's music. And you remember a year or two ago, I think it was about a year and a half ago, he decided he was pulling all of his music off of Spotify to protest Joe Rogan. Apparently, he didn't like what Joe Rogan was saying about race or vaccines or something. I don't know, one of these third rail topics. And he said in protest he was pulling all of his music off of Spotify. Got a lot of attention. Everyone made it a big thing. Well, it's back. All of his music is now back on Spotify. Now, you might say, what kind of protest is that? Well, apparently, here's what's changed in Neil Young's mind. And this is where you see how short-sighted a lot of these protests are. Spotify has now decided that they're making Joe Rogan's podcast available everywhere. YouTube, iTunes, every podcast app can now have the Joe Rogan experience. So Neil Young basically said, and I guess he's right, that it really didn't make sense for him to just boycott Spotify since he is going to be on all these other streaming platforms with Joe Rogan. And that would essentially mean that nobody could stream his music. So, you know, Neil Young wanted to make a statement until he didn't want to make a statement that everybody could not hear his music. So there's that. All right. We are keeping an eye on this situation in Baltimore. Breaking news, where there are workers possibly in the water, where we have seen the 1.6-mile Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed after a cargo ship collided with it. And we're going to follow as many updates as we can. There may be as many as 7 individuals in the water, according to the Baltimore Fire Department. The Baltimore mayor is en route to the scene. Emergency services are on the scene as well. And we will bring you any updates as they transpire. If you happen to be in the Baltimore area and you're seeing any of this transpire, give us a call. 800-848-9222. Okay. So I must say I got quite a kick out of the kerfuffle at NBC News in the last 48 hours involving the hiring of the former Republican National Committee spokesperson. Former National Committee chairperson, Ronna McDaniel. Now, Ronna McDaniel used to be Ronna Romney McDaniel because she's Mitt Romney's niece. When Willard Mitt Romney became increasingly out of favor with the Trump wing of the Republican Party, all of a sudden she dropped Romney from her name and made sure she was, towing the Trump party line as chairperson. It's a difficult thing to run a political party, and especially a major party at a national level. Almost all of what you do is fundraising. And from what I can tell, she did an adequate job when it came to fundraising. I don't know if someone else in that position would have done any better or worse. I thought as a spokesperson, she was okay. I thought as a strategist, she was lousy. I mean, the Republicans won the House barely in 2 years ago, but beyond that, I don't know that there are really any significant electoral victories that you could point to under her leadership. But basically my read on her, and I have to confess I haven't spent much time thinking about her, is that she was pretty much just your standard conventional establishment Republican. And like so many people in politics, like Tammy Murphy, like Rob Menendez, they rose to their position largely through nepotism and the fact that she was Mitt Romney's niece. And that certainly paved the way for her. And I believe she's George Romney's granddaughter. That certainly paved the way for her in Republican politics. And she did rework a lot of her rhetoric over the last few years to sound more Trumpian than establishment. But you could just tell, right? This was not Steve Bannon. This is not Corey Lewandowski. This is an establishment Republican trying to come across as a Trump person. I thought she totally botched her handling of the Republican presidential primary debates. I've talked about why. We don't need to go into all that, but I thought this whole focus on this loyalty pledge was idiotic. And she basically put together a whole bunch of debates that nobody wanted to watch because Trump wasn't in them. So what's the point? So I thought she did okay as a Republican chairperson. But she's out. She was not, Trump has basically taken over the Republican Party electorally and in terms of the heart and soul of the GOP. It's very much a Trump party now. And a lot of the Trump people did not feel that Ronna McDaniel was sufficiently pro-Trump. By the way, a lot of the anti-Trump people feel that she was too pro-Trump during the primaries. So she's out. She's been replaced with a co-chairman, the gentleman that was the chairman of the party in North Carolina, and Lara Trump, who obviously is President Trump's daughter-in-law. So we'll see where that goes. So she hires an agent, like a lot of people do when they leave politics, and she gets this job as a contributor to NBC News. Now, before we get into what's happened over the last 48 hours, let me tell you, I think this is a positive on the part of NBC News. If you watch NBC News, which is sort of the umbrella organization that MSNBC is under, but it's also NBC Broadcast. They produce Meet the Press. They produce the NBC Nightly News. Anything under the NBC News umbrella, whether it's on broadcast or on cable, including CNBC, that all comes under NBC News, I believe, if I'm understanding the Venn diagram and the politics and the hierarchy of NBC News. I thought this was a positive development. Because if you look at NBC News, all of the analysts they have, all of the, certainly on MSNBC, all of the opinion hosts they have, they really have one point of view, which is just anti-Trump, right? They have Democrats that are anti-Trump, like, you know, Joy Reid. They have Republicans that are anti-Trump, like Joe Scarborough. They have national security analysts that are anti-Trump, like John Brennan and the gentleman who was the deputy director of the FBI, Frank Figlioli, I think his name is. But there's no pro-Trump voice on the network, and that's fine if that's what you want to do. And really, I think MSNBC, I don't even really view NBC News, certainly not MSNBC, but I don't even really view NBC News as a news organization. I really have come to view it largely as a kind of a left-wing Fox News, which is to say largely just an echo chamber. Now, at least on Fox News, you do get left-wing and left-of-center analysis from time to time. You hear from people like Jessica Tarlov. You hear from people like Juan Williams. You hear from people like Harold Ford Jr. You really don't hear that equivalent in terms of pro-Trump voices on NBC News or on MSNBC. It's all wall-to-wall anti-Trump, which is why I thought it was silly for them to even really think of themselves as a news organization, because you have a situation where 50% of the country, or maybe a little less than 50% of the country, tens of millions of Americans, are Trump supporters. So are you really going to have news analysis, opinion journalism that's devoid of where half the country is? You can do that, but you're not a news organization. You're a propaganda organization. So my thinking was, when I heard the news, not that I've ever been bowled over with Ron and McDaniel, is, well, that's great. That's great. That shows they're at least trying to make an effort to have some people on their air that understand why half the country believes what it is and can articulate that on television. I thought it was a good move. A good move for them as a network to establish a little bit more credibility. I don't know. Look, maybe Ron and McDaniel has some brilliant agent. I don't know what she's doing or what analysis she could be offering that's worth $400,000 a year, which is what she's being paid. Can you imagine that? Someone that has no experience in media being given $400,000 to analyze politics on TV? I mean, God bless her. Nice work if you can get it. So, and again, as I said, I think this was a positive that they didn't pick someone like Liz Cheney and call that a Republican analyst. So she has her first appearance on Sunday, and she was on Meet the Press with, I believe the host's name is Kristen Welker. See, nobody watches these Sunday shows anymore. They are still influential because they're watched inside Washington and inside media circles. But back when it was Bob Schieffer hosting Face the Nation and Tim Russert hosting Meet the Press and Chris Wallace hosting Fox News Sunday and Sam Donaldson and Cokie Roberts hosting ABC's This Week, those shows were really meaningful that everybody watched. You don't really see that anymore outside of Washington. Ron and McDaniel, apparently, this is what was being reported, she was booked for this interview while she was negotiating her contract with NBC as a contributor. She gets hired as a contributor. She thinks she's going on there to be a contributor and contribute. Meanwhile, Kristen Welker, when she was told that the interview was booked, she thought that this was just a regular guest. And look, you treat people a little differently if they're a regular guest than if they're working for your news organization. Right. I mean, that just goes to the heart of things. So Ron and McDaniel got a very tough interview from Kristen Welker. And that's good. I mean, I thought it was good television, but I don't think she would have gotten this had she had people known that she was going to be a contributor. So here is a little bit of Ron and McDaniel on Meet the Press.
One RNC member told Politico that you were a, quote, failed chair. Another said, quote, we lost the House, the Senate, and the White House while she was chair. Did you deserve to stay on with that track record, Rana?
You know, I push back on that very hard. you know, the fact that under my time as chair, we've had more women in Congress ever than in the history of our party, that we've had more minority growth in our party, and that didn't just happen.
I thought that was a good question and a good answer. I mean, what are you going to say to that? I mean, the facts are the facts. Now, here's what I was curious to see what she was going to say. She was asked about January 6th because she had previously told CNN that Biden didn't win the election. And basically, a condition of her working for NBC News was she had to acknowledge that Biden did win the election.
Mitch McConnell said that Donald Trump was practically and morally responsible for the attack on the Capitol. Do you agree with him?
You know, I don't think he wanted that attack to happen on the Capitol. But I will say that that attack is a dark day in our history. There's nothing to be proud of about that day. There's nothing that we can look back and say this was good. It's changed our whole country. And so I condemn what happened on January 6th. Do I think he wanted that to happen or pushed that to happen? I don't.
Well, now he seems to be very proud about it. He calls it a beautiful day. Again, he's talking about freeing those who've been convicted. He, if you ask some of those who were convicted, they say they were there because Trump asked them to be there. Does he not bear
responsibility
for that day?
First of all, the RNC was not there on January 6th.
But what about Trump? I want to ask you about Trump, because Mitch McConnell says Donald Trump was practically and morally responsible for the attack on the Capitol. Was he?
I said I don't think he wanted the attack on the Capitol.
Was he responsible, though? He may not have foreseen it, but was he responsible
for it?
Well,
when I say that, I don't mean he wanted that to happen, so I don't hold him responsible for that.
That was, I thought, kind of a weak set of questions. Basically, you know what I do, and maybe this is my weakness as an interviewer, I ask a question that I want to know the answer to, and then people will give me whatever answer they give. Now, if I can clarify, I'll try to clarify. I don't try to trick people into answering a question, which it sounds like Christian Welker. And again, it's not a criticism of her necessarily, but I don't know. It sounds like she had this certain answer that she was looking for, which she wanted her to say that, yeah, Trump was responsible. And she just kept really rewording the question until Ronna McDaniel was going to give her that answer, which she didn't. But you could tell that Ronna McDaniel, or Ronna Romney McDaniel, whatever you want to call it, did not expect a grilling like the one she got from Kristen Welker. She was expecting to go on there and give her opinion. Hey, what do you think of the election? Hey, what do you think is going to happen with Speaker Mike Johnson? Hey, what are the plans for the convention? That kind of thing. She was not expecting to have to defend everything that happened under her chairmanship. You could tell, but that's what she did. What then happened is just surreal. Because Chuck Todd, who used to be the host of this show, who clearly has come to view himself as, I don't know what, the dean of Washington political reporters, the dean of Washington political analysts, he used to host Meet the Press, and he goes on NBC News on Meet the Press and basically bashes the decision of NBC News to hire Ronna Romney McDaniel. Now, I don't know. Look, maybe these guys are all a lot more secure in their jobs than I am. But if you said to me, well, hey, your network just hired Newt Gingrich, I can promise you, I could have different opinions about Newt Gingrich. I can promise you I would not go on the air the next day and do a whole lengthy monologue about how my bosses are idiots for hiring Newt Gingrich. No, I mean, you just don't do that. Apparently, Chuck Todd does. Guess we come from a different mindset. Here is Chuck Todd. I may have to make an exception if they ever do that for Andrew Cuomo, though. Here's Chuck Todd right after that interview. Kristen Welker turns to her panel, which Chuck Todd is on, and she says, what do you think of the interview? Here's Chuck Todd.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation.
An apology?
Because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Well, now let me pause here. First of all, how sanctimonious can you be? I mean, these guys are acting. These guys are doing a TV show. OK, they're acting like they're putting a man on the moon while curing cancer. Their bosses owe you an apology. How dare they make you sit there and ask questions of someone that was the head of the RNC? This is the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. Her bosses owe her an apology for what? Making her do her job? In my life, I've never ever heard someone say to an interviewer, our bosses owe you an apology for making you interview a contributor on a news outlet. I mean, this is crazy. But then let's look at the things that he actually said beyond demanding this apology, which I'm sure is forthcoming.
Sure, she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract.
Now, that's a good point.
She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Now, everything Chuck Todd said there is accurate, right? I mean, she said that when she was saying crazy things, that wasn't her opinion. That was what the RNC was paying her to go out there and say. Totally legitimate. You don't know if what she's saying is because she doesn't want to mess up her $400,000 contract. By the way, I can promise you if I had a $400,000 contract, I wouldn't want to mess that up either. But what makes Chuck Todd's comments ring so hollow to me is look at everybody else that's on NBC News. Jen Psaki was the White House press secretary. And she, by the way, negotiated her deal with MSNBC while she was the White House press secretary. So you had a situation where MSNBC was negotiating with her how much they were going to pay her while MSNBC was covering the Biden White House. Now, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But Chuck Todd didn't say anything when Jen Psaki was hired and started appearing on shows. He didn't question how credible what Jen Psaki is saying is. He didn't say that, who is she speaking for? Was everything she said work while working with the Biden White House? Was that her view? Was that Biden's view? Whose view is she toting now? None of that. Also, let's look at who else is on NBC News, paid very handsomely. Nicole Wallace. Let me play for you the rest of what Chuck Todd said.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? What, once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And I'm willing to have that debate. And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible.
Who is Chuck Todd to give what's acceptable to him? Well, I could deal if we were hiring with her as a technical consultant to the convention. But as a contributor, no, I can't deal with that. I mean, this is the most idiotic pablum I've ever heard in my life. So, I mean, you have on the network Nicole Wallace, who was a spokesperson for George W. Bush and Dick Cheney while they were lying about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I don't remember Chuck Todd saying any of this when Nicole Wallace started NBC News. You have Michael Steele, who was the chairman of the RNC. Same job that Romney McDaniel had. The difference is Michael Steele is now sufficiently anti-Trump for this network. John Brennan, the former head of the CIA, who lied to Congress, who lied under oath and lied to the public repeatedly about pretty important stuff like torture and warrantless wiretapping and a bunch of other things. Where was this tongue lashing then? And you know what's so funny about this? These guys, and it's not just Chuck Todd, it's Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. These guys are acting like they brought on board Roger Stone and Steve Bannon, right? Meanwhile, a lot of Trump people don't even view Ronna McDaniel as a Trumper. And yet that's the reaction that they're acting like. They're acting like they just hired Goebbels to do analysis of Hitler's takeover of Poland. That's what they're acting like. I mean, it's crazy. Let me just play for you this. This is from Morning Joe yesterday.
We believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage.
Well, like who?
But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor.
By the way, first of all, if I'm Ronna McDaniel, I'm thinking, what? There's another show I don't have to go on and I still get my $400,000. By the way, I could see them pulling the plug on her now that these journalists have made this a big issue. Second, let's remember Joe Scarborough, when he was in Congress, was a right-wing Republican that appeared on Fox News daily that was one of the people touting the lies of weapons of mass destruction that led us into Iraq. And by the way, I don't think there are two people more responsible for Donald Trump's rise in 2016 than Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. They were at Mar-a-Lago. They were having lunch with Trump. They loved Trump when they were eating his food and drinking his booze. And what did they think he was going to be? Did they think he was going to be Abraham Lincoln meets George Washington when they were giving him all this airtime? I mean, come on. This is absurd. The level of self-seriousness that these people have, is it any wonder why fewer and fewer people say they trust corporate media? This is crazy, the way these people are talking. So, I mean, you talk about something that is a non-issue. I didn't even talk about this yesterday. But the fact that the rest of the media is falling like dominoes to react to Chuck Todd's comments. Chuck Todd hasn't been this relevant maybe ever. All right. Well, I'll have more to say in a bit. And I'll take your calls at 800-848-9222. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Minutes before the top of the hour, we are keeping an eye on this situation in Baltimore, where, if you have not heard, the 1.6-mile Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore has collapsed after a cargo ship reportedly collided with it. So we are hoping for the best here, but all lanes were closed on the bridge before the collapse and all traffic was being rerouted. That's what the Maryland Transport Authority said just before 2 a.m. Eastern. The Baltimore City Fire Department's communications chief has called the incident a developing mass casualty event. Kevin Cartwright from the fire department said the focus right now was on trying to rescue and recover the people believed to have fallen in the water. He said it was too early to know how many people were affected. According to Mr. Cartwright, conditions are unsafe as there are some cargo or retainers hanging from the bridge, meaning emergency crews were having to work cautiously. He described the situation as a dire emergency. One of the vehicles on the bridge when it collapsed was the size of a tractor trailer, according to the Baltimore head of communications for the fire department. There were multiple vehicles on the bridge when it was struck by this large boat. We'll bring you more as we learn it. Again, none of the cable news networks are covering this yet. They're too busy reacting to the shocking hiring of Ronna Romney McDaniel. Until next hour, your influence counts. Use it.